Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, D-Aliens, and a happy Thirsty Thursday to you. This is Mraz, the executive producer of the DA Show, sidekick on the DA Show. Heck, host of Side B on the PGP on the DA Show. And more importantly, you might be more stunned to a news that here I am, still pumping out the best of the DA shows. And today, plenty more laughs, plenty more takes, and plenty more nonsense across the DA. Check it out here.
Brady didn't go into yesterday wanting to empty the bucket on the Patriots' secrets. He didn't go into yesterday with Howard Stern looking for vengeance against Bill Belichick. He wasn't looking to expose secrets and dirt and skeletons out of the closet of his career. Tom Brady went there to be Tom Brady. He was pleasant. He was not angry. He was happy. He was even keel. He gave us a few anecdotes about working hard and his career, a little bit of here, a little bit there of not being the starting quarterback in Michigan, working harder. I mean, I think that the extent of things maybe we did not know that could even crawl into the space of woe is that Giselle wrote him a personalized letter a couple of years ago saying that basically he wasn't pulling his weight as a dad, that he was too consumed in football, and that's when Brady decided to take stock of things and not be present for OTAs for the Patriots and work out in his own in the preseason. But that's about the extent of it. Waiting for Brady to shoot from across the bow at Belichick clearly was not part of his inclination to do this interview. To me, hearing the normal Brady platitudes, the normal Brady speak, was really more about Tom Brady views himself as more celebrity these days than I think football player. You know, when Tom Brady does a Facebook series, Tom versus Time, when Tom Brady does things like have a ad campaign during the Super Bowl, when Tom Brady sits down with Howard Stern or sits courtside at basketball games, he does appear to be doing things he wasn't really allowed to do as a Patriot, or at least not until recent vintage. And so I think there's just an element now of Brady, instead of sitting down with Jim Gray, it's, let me sit down with Howard Stern. I'm important enough now to do that. And he probably always was, but these days, going to Tampa provides a certain freedom. And now he gets to do these types of things. But it really wasn't ever about, I'm going to tell things out of school. I'm going to tell things nobody's ever heard from me. It's just, here's a platform that's bigger than sports, and I'm bigger than sports now. So here's a question that I have. Considering there was no gotcha moments, crazy quotes, nothing really all that notable. Number one, I ask this question. Do you think Howard Stern's disappointed by the interview? Number two, was there anything Brady uncovered that we didn't know? I mean, anything? It is where we begin your cold open.
2 years ago, as it related to even football for me, I had to make a big transition in my life to say, I can't do all the things that I wanted to do for football like I used to. I need you know, I got to take care of things in my family because my family was, the situation wasn't great. She wasn't satisfied with our marriage. I never cared about legacy. I mean, I could give a shit about, that's never, I never once when I was in high school said, man, I can't wait for my, what my football legacy looks like. It's just not me. That's not my personality.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That audio courtesy of the Howard Stern Show on Sirius XM Radio. I think, number one, I don't think Howard Stern and his crew is disappointed by the interview because they got a lot of attention from it. And I think Brady was kind of as honest as Brady can be. But I do think there's got to be a part of them that said, boy, that's about the least illuminating interview that you're ever going to find us do. Because Howard gets everybody to admit something that they didn't admit before, except Tom Brady, because he's so used to doing this. You know, it's different than a celebrity who just is asked the same series of questions about their movie or upcoming television series on some type of late night talk show or on a daytime talk view type show, or when they do those kind of like little round tables with a bunch of different journalists or reporters for TV outlets about their new movie for about 3 minutes, those press junkets. Tom Brady sits there with a press conference and has an assembled media try to ask him prying questions every single week, multiple times a week. He is steeled in answering questions a certain way. He's not going to break. These other celebrities aren't used to that. So I think from that standpoint, the Howard Stern Show has to be at least a little disappointed that he is just so in that mode that he can't really go outside of that. That stuff about his marriage is a little illuminating, but that's not really a football thing. It's more of his marriage thing, and that's not really all that interesting to sports fans such as ourselves. So I do think there's got to be slight disappointment, although they get a lot of attention for it, trending on Twitter, etc. A lot of news reports, a lot of news coverage. I think the secondary part, was there anything that we didn't know? The only thing that I would kind of cite was that last quote that we had there, that he could give a bleep about legacy. And that's somewhat enlightening because he's saying something that either he doesn't believe or his actions have shown otherwise and he's tricked himself into believing it. What I mean by that is, I don't give a damn about legacy. Of course he does. I just cited the Tom versus Time Facebook miniseries. It's about Tom Brady defying something that has taken down every professional athlete ever, and that is Father Time. He has made a brand and has built a reputation that he's constantly striving for and to tell everybody about, which is my diet, my behavior, my lifestyle is allowing me to do something no one's ever done before. Play quarterback until 45. That's been a stated goal for 10 years now. That's a legacy project. Of course, he wants to keep playing football, yes. But he's telling everybody how he's doing it. He's pushing the lifestyle through a book. He has a company that is devoted and built and founded around a lifestyle plan. Of course that's a legacy. Of course that's leaving behind or building what you want your lasting reputation beyond football to be. That is the definition of legacy. So I don't know if Brady doesn't realize that's what it is. I think he does, and that's just kind of that's the right answer. I don't give a damn about legacy, even though ultimately he obviously does. I guess if you admit that, it's vain, and he doesn't want to admit that. But that's the only thing that was enlightening was, do you really believe that all of this stuff is not about your legacy? Or are you kind of willingly just saying the right thing because you've just been trained to do that a million times over? Of course you care about legacy. It's been your focus for the last 8 years, challenging the notion that a quarterback had to retire by a certain age and then telling everybody how you did it and selling it.
855-212-4CBS.
855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Two-parter here, Mraz. Number one, start here. You think Howard Stern was disappointed by the interview yesterday?
No, I do not. I disagree with you there because I don't think Howard Stern goes into it looking for a sports interview. Howard Stern is not going to ask him about Deflategate or Spygate or know to prime about Bill Belichick. That's not what you're getting and going into with a Howard Stern interview. And I do think he got some interesting personal stuff out of Tom Brady, so I don't think he could be disappointed, no.
But he is one of the most well-researched interviewers ever. He obviously knows there's a Belichick-Brady thing. He might not know a lot about sports, but he knows that Brady leaving the Patriots is a big deal. So getting out why he left, getting out if there was a rift between him and Belichick, is obviously something that Howard Stern was hoping to uncover, or at least something personal that somebody would go, wow, that about Tom Brady? And they didn't get that.
See, I think the marriage stuff about why he missed OTAs is a wow moment, because they give this, you know, impression that they are now the perfect, you know, family up in Massachusetts with these homes, and hearing things like Giselle, him admitting that Giselle told him he's not pulling his weight at home, and that things got dark there, and that's why he missed OTAs, a moment where he was crushed when he's riding camels. I think that's a wow moment. I do, and I think that's the kind of thing that Howard Stern is looking for in a Howard Stern interview, is getting to know Tom Brady, the personal Tom Brady. Now, there's stuff that I'm sure Howard Stern's not disappointed with that we already knew, like when Tom Brady says he knew that he'd be leaving the Patriots before the season, and that kind of made headlines. Well, everybody kind of has already heard that or believed that, or Tom Brady drinks a couple hundred ounces of water that, you know, wowed Howard Stern, when, again, we know how much that Tom Brady talks about how much water he drinks. So as well-researched as Howard Stern is, I think there's some personal stuff that Howard Stern was pleased with that I think – on one hand, we didn't know, and on other hands, we kind of knew already.
Well, here's the only thing about whether it's a wow moment that Giselle was frustrated that maybe Tom Brady was too focused on football. It fits his narrative that he is so consumed by the football that, of course, there would be a moment in time where he would have to back off of that, that he would be challenged about just how much you are consumed by it. I don't know how much of that is a wow. If I told you, here's A and B, either Tom Brady was A, so consumed by football, Giselle told him to knock it off, or B, Tom Brady kind of stopped caring about football along the way, and it was happy-go-lucky. I mean, everybody would choose, of course, A, he's so consumed by it, it's crazy.
Yeah, but there's being consumed by it and hearing what Giselle's actually telling him. I don't know. I found that very, very fascinating to me, especially when they come off doing that Facebook series and everybody, oh, look at Tom Brady, what a family man. And there's him giving in detail his wife on what he wasn't doing. And it wasn't so much so you're playing football too much. It was more what you're not contributing at home, that angle.
Okay, so then part B, that is, did he uncover anything that we did not know? You're saying that the rift in the marriage was the thing that you felt like, wow, I had no idea about that.
Yes, 100%, because I think that also sheds light to, if Tom Brady is not perfect at home, you know, I think that could help people. I really do. And I thought that was a little hair down. And I also think uncovering anything we didn't know, maybe not necessarily by question, but by personality, in when Tom Brady takes that two-hour setting and he's cursing and he's really letting his hair down, Tom Brady, to me, and I'm sure as it come across to others, has actually come across as not one of the guys, as maybe too stuck up. And Tom Brady, to me, yesterday sounded like a guy that could be on a construction site, which, say what you want to say, maybe that's not suitable for work kind of deal, but Tom Brady came across to me as more normal yesterday than I previously now had thought and had this painted picture in my mind of.
Well, that is the value of a Howard Stern interview, is that he does get to the humanity of just about everybody that he interviews and makes them have to take their defense mechanisms down. So I would agree with you there, but I think that Brady is so polished at the public interview for having done it for so many years and saying the right thing, that even yesterday, what amounted to the wow, he let his hair down moments was not that crazy compared to 99% of Howard's other interviews.
That's where I will agree with you. I think if we're talking about all of Howard's interviews, yeah, I don't think it's the most revealing. I think this is mainly revealing because it's Tom Brady, and we don't hear Tom Brady in this setting, and we don't really hear Tom Brady you know, trying to unbutton even a little bit, and that's what we got. So that's why I don't think Howard Stern is disappointed by it. But if we're talking about the grand spectrum of all-time Howard Stern interviews, no, this is making waves because we don't hear from Tom Brady like this.
Right. Stern put out his book of all-time interviews not long ago, and I would say if the Tom Brady interview happened within the span of that book, it does not make that book.
I think that's fair. I would not disagree with you there. I just think the overwhelming spectrum of things I didn't know or things that the average person didn't know, I do think we got some of that, at least some of that. And to me, when Howard Stern's not a sports guy, not looking to do a sports interview, looking to do a more human interview, that's why I don't think he's disappointed with it.
Okay. Modern Family and Merez, you are just an emotional blubbering mess. I mean, I guess you kind of always are. You always have that element to you. But, I mean, now with the quarantine, gosh, are you emotional?
Oh, I am. I haven't seen people. I am a mess. But I got to be honest, last night, Modern Family, I went through a half a box of tissues last night, easily.
You were tweeting about crying during the finale, tweeting about how it represents the timeline of you and your wife's relationship together.
It was the first show that we clicked with. Yeah, absolutely. It was always appointment TV for us. It was something we could come together and watch together. You know me with the passage of time, Damon. You know me.
I do know you, and I didn't think that the final episode of a sitcom was going to make you cry. What was so emotional last night? Spoiler alert, Mraz is going to talk about the end of last night's Modern Family.
Well, no, because I won't spoil how it ended, but it was more just what it signified. They did an hour special before it, where they kind of went through the whole series and how it was cast and the little things that you didn't know about it and hearing all the actors talk. And that, like, that's what really got me. And you watch the children on that show and how they grew up and everything that went with the actress that played Haley when she got engaged. Her fiance even asked Claire and Phil Dunphy for if they were like, just everybody being family and watching that family grow up. As, you know, I watch myself grow up and my family and myself become a dad. It was a representation of the passage of time and knowing that something like that could end, where we just don't get TV like that in a sitcom form anymore. It's very difficult to do in this era of binge watching that. It was more about the passage of time and watching everybody on that show get older, I think really got me to be a blubbery mess last night.
Okay, so Mraz is crying at home last night over Modern Family, but it had us wondering here on the DA show, a little bit more lighthearted. You know, Ed O'Neill, as Jay Pritchett, has a long, successful career on another tremendous sitcom, tremendously successful sitcom. He started his career, obviously, before Married with Children, but Married with Children put him on the map. For 10 seasons, Married with Children was on television, and he played dad Al Bundy. Now, 10 years, he is one of the most iconic TV dads ever, because up until Married with Children, TV dads were largely respectable, teach your children the right ideas, the right messages. They were hardworking. They were there for their families. They were kind of Beaver Cleaver types. And this was the first sitcom dad, the first TV dad that farted, put his hands down his pants, didn't like his wife, hated his kids, gave bad advice. Al Bundy himself, let's face him, Mraz, is one of the most iconic television characters, let alone television dads of all time. Ed O'Neill could have retired with only Married with Children Al Bundy, and he would have been a television icon.
He would have always been remembered, though, as Al Bundy and not Ed O'Neill. That's where he needed Modern Family.
Okay, so he also ends up doing some other films, other movies, other work. He is the reporter in Blue Chips that blows the doors off of Western University and the illegal recruitment. He is also in Wayne's World as Makita's manager, Glenn, the donut guy. He's also in Wayne's World 2. He's in Little Giants as Kevin O'Shea, one of your favorite sports movies.
Yes.
Pee-wee football movie.
Coach of the Cowboys.
And then he ends up on this film years later. This is now about 12 years after he walked away from Married with Children, okay? Married with Children goes off the air in 97. He starts up with Modern Family in 09 and says, I don't want to be part of sitcoms anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And yet they kind of rope him in. And once again, Jay Pritchett is not your common sitcom dad. I mean, this is a guy that also has some lewd comments. He's a guy that makes fun of kids. You know, he plays more of the Al Bundy type than just a straight-laced dad in this.
Yes, and even has to deal with the fact that his son has come out as gay, and it's all about him getting used to that. And, like, he was Al Bundy, but a matured Al Bundy here.
But he still had Al Bundy tendencies.
Yes, he did. There was Al Bundy pumping through his veins.
Because you can't take the Al Bundy out of Ed O'Neill, okay? So when we come back, I want to talk about whether he needed this for his legacy. Also, an uplifting story with Bryce Weiler of the Beautiful Lives Project. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Scott Hanson, Andrew Siciliano, both the hosts of Red Zone Channel, have a very important challenge every Sunday. Try to hold it in. Here was Scott Hanson on with Zach Gelb last night here on CBS Sports Radio.
I don't like to eat or drink when I do this show. Do you at all eat or drink at times during Red Zone?
Usually not. 7-hour show, no commercial breaks. I have only taken one bathroom break in the last 7+ seasons. I get into the zone. I eat a big breakfast in the morning, and then I cut off my liquids about 3 hours before the show. And then my stage manager, Rhoda Gilmore, she's the best. She hands me, I'm like a caged zoo animal. She gives me a banana and a bottle of water. The banana is for potassium. If I need a little energy and then some potassium to avoid cramping up because I get so dehydrated doing the show because I don't drink any water. And then the water is if, you know, I happen to get some dry mouth or something like that and I just have to take a tiny, tiny sip to wet my whistle, I will. But most of the time, the banana goes uneaten. And a lot of the times, the water, I barely even crack the surface of that. So I am compromising my bladder for you folks to give you 60, 70 touchdowns every single Sunday in the fall. I hope people appreciate it.
You know what? I made a mistake here. We should have used this as an entire talk topic instead of just sound check. This is a huge talk topic, Mraz. Number one, have you ever gone 8 hours without going to the bathroom once?
I've already gone 3 times since the show started.
I mean, what Scott Hanson is telling us is that from like noon until 7 p.m. Eastern time or 12:30 until 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, he does not go to the bathroom.
I don't
every
know how you
week
do that.
For years. That seems humanly impossible. Number two, while you broadcast, you constantly need water. I know I do. I constantly need to wet my whistle to stay lubricated because if you get dry mouth from talking a lot, I mean, I would challenge anybody right now listening. After the show is done sometime today, just try to talk for 10 minutes straight and don't stop. Just try. You could talk about anything. You can sing. You could just talk gibberish. But for 10 minutes straight, try to just talk in a row and tell me that you don't need a drink of water after that. Now think about doing that for 7 hours. I mean, I do that for 4 hours. Of course, we have interviews and, you know, we have commercial breaks, but you're talking for 10 to 12 minutes on end constantly. How could you not need a glass of water? Also, Scott Hanson's not eating the banana. That's a bad job by Scott. He needs the potassium right there. 7 hours, he's not eating anything? That seems incredibly dangerous to his body.
And it would seem like you could use good landmarkers, right? Like once you get past the wild finishes of the early games,
yes,
you kind of settle in end of first quarter. That to me would be a benchmark. And go, okay, have
yes,
the banana now.
I always thought this was the way that it went. When they cut away to some of the full games late and they go there for like, let's say 90 seconds, 2 minutes of a game, I always thought that's when they duck out, go to the bathroom and come back. Scott Hanson saying he never ducks off of mic and never leaves the studio. I mean, for me, commercial breaks, you get 4 or 5 minutes, boom, you're back, you're fine. I always thought that's how they handled it. Is it possible Scott Hanson, 7 hours, never leaves that room?
I don't know if he could have done that in the first 2 years. He obviously had to train his body, but I will tell you this. I don't know where my career takes me. there is no chance I'm ever doing that job because I wouldn't be able to do it. I would be basically, you know, everybody in the red zone wild finish going, I got to go. Sorry, I'm out of here. And I'd be looking for cheeseburger deliveries during the fourth quarter of the early games. Is he nuts not eating that banana?
And, I mean, to be fair, and I love Scott Hansen. We've had him on the show before. I love the red zone. Him and Siciliano do amazing work. They are really amazing types of resources for football fans. But, I mean, it's not like you're a surgeon in the middle of brain surgery for 7 hours. You can leave. I mean, it's right. Okay. It's okay. The Bengals and Steelers will still be going on when you come back. You can go to the bathroom. It's gonna be okay. We're just gonna cut to that game full, you know, because he doesn't talk over every single play. They just cut to games. Give him a 2-minute block of, you know, Titans Colts and let him go to the bathroom.
And not only that, a half an hour before, all he has to do is record the following liners for every game. And we cut away to Falcons Saints. And that's all you need to do. If he needs a 5-minute, you know, situation where maybe there's got to be a number two or something like that, and then that's all you got to play as the directors and stuff cut to the games. That's it. It seems pretty easy to me. You don't got to be a hero here holding your black. Can't be healthy.
Occasionally, they cut to games, and he doesn't even do a toss.
Right.
Occasionally, they just go back and forth between games. So I don't get this. Also, you would be immediately disqualified. I can't believe how often you go to the bathroom. Forget even number one. Number two, you've often said you just don't have any control over it. Like, your body just does exactly what it wants.
It hits a button and you got to go. I've trained it not to go during certain segments, but, like, I have had to run for the hills. Matter of fact, I set up my home studio. I am staring at my bathroom sink right now. I could get there in between this next sound check cut and back. That's
important.
I go.
You'll never do red zone because of that. Immediately DQ.
Never, ever, ever. I couldn't handle it.
Jameis Winston was on Fox News and was asked about being replaced by Tom Brady by the Buccaneers.
One thing about Tom Brady is it's understood that he is the GOAT. For you to get replaced by Tom Brady in a city that you love so much, I guess that's kudos to me. But at the end of the day, it's a competitive sport. We all in the business. So I'm excited for whatever opportunity may hold. And eventually, I'm going to have to play the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes, and all the other great quarterbacks eventually. So that's how you win Super Bowls, and that's what I want.
I guess kudos to me. That's a great quote. I need that on a T-shirt. Can somebody please make this T-shirt for me? Kudos to me. I guess kudos to me. I got replaced. I guess kudos to me. So by being replaced by Tom Brady, kudos to Jameis Winston. I forget who Joe Montana replaced in Kansas City. I think it might have been Steve DeBerg or Dave Craig. I don't know if they would be like, yeah, you know what? Kudos to me. I got replaced by Joe Montana. I mean, kudos to me. That's the best Jameis Winston quote ever.
Kudos that to
goes,
me.
That goes right up there with Let's Eat a W.
Let's eat one. That's a W.
And here is Bruce Bochy. Could he imagine managing meaningful games in front of no fans? This is courtesy of MLB Network Radio.
No, I couldn't. That would be really, really strange. And because it's like any sport, basketball, football. I mean, the fans are, I mean, they're part of the game, part of your team if you're at home. So it would be hard to imagine. But with that said, you know, sometimes you don't have some great choices and a lot of decisions. And you got to go with the best one. If that's playing with no fans, I guess so be it. If you're going to try to save the season and maybe give the, you know, the baseball fans, you know, something to look forward to doing through these tough times.
Bruce Bochy just sounds like a Disney movie's baseball manager.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be tough times, but we're going to give these fans something to look forward to. I'm going to be outside of my backyard working on my fence posts, and then we'll be managing the game, but I wouldn't usually like to do that in front of no fans.
He kind of sounds like the manager from Major League.
He does. I would also say that he would never let Chet Stedman pitch in back-to-back games.
No,
or allow Henry Rowan Gardner to get out of a ninth inning of a championship game with trick plays.
If Rowan Gardner loses it on the mound, Bruce Bochy is immediately going out there to check on him. What's going on?
what's going on? It looks like you lost it, kid. Get over there. Wipe that snot off your nose. We're going to put in a real man here.
All right, that is your sound check.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
April 9th, 2018, Mraz tears into Giancarlo just games into the season.
How many more times will Giancarlo Stanton strike out five times? Because yesterday, he struck out five times, just like in the home opener when he was booed. And yesterday, and along with that, two other outs. He was 0-for-7 with five Ks. Boys, cue the music. Mraz, I will give you the floor right now. What is your emotional panic level at 5-5 on April the 9th?
I'm pressing the button. I am pressing the panic button. Number one, you and every listener here owes me an apology. Oh, how piggish he was to boo Stanton on opening day when that's all anybody's doing now. I was just ahead of the train. If the season ended today, they wouldn't even be in the playoffs. And they're going up to Fenway this week to get their clocks cleaned.
Well, if the season ended today, it's April 9th.
I understand that, but these games count just as much as they do in September. Do you know how hard it is to go 0-for-7 with five strikeouts in one game?
Sorry.
By the way, not facing Nolan Ryan either with those strikeouts, facing the Baltimore Orioles and a starting pitcher that got pulled in the first inning. They faced the whole bullpen yesterday. Let the Orioles just come into Yankee Stadium and do what they want with them. The Yankees were up 5-0 yesterday, collapsed, and then could do nothing between that dope Judge with his gap and Stanton, who came here. Oh, I want to call my shots. I don't want to go to the Giants. I want to go to the Cardinals. Derek Jeter's going to trade me where I want, and I want to be in New York. Well, you suck, Stanton. Now you suck. And I don't care. I don't want to hear that he was the National League MVP.
Well, he was.
That he's hit a million home runs in his career.
Well, he has.
I don't care that he hit two home runs versus the Blue Jays now 2 weeks ago. It doesn't mean anything if you're striking out 50 million times. You realize how many at-bats he's had? He hasn't rested a game yet. And he has struck out 47% of his at-bats. Oh. Almost half the time he comes up, he has struck out. And if one more moron on Twitter goes, well, you got Stanton. When the strikeouts come with the territory. This many? This many come with the territory? Think about it. We were just about Jim Grunting Shaw, who was born in 1893. That man pitched 11 years in the major leagues. And not once during the time he was pitching did an idiot come to plate twice in one season and go hitless with five strikeouts. First time in Major League history. So don't tell me this comes with the territory when the guy is historically awful. Awful. And now we're now faced with the reality that he might be the next Pablo Sandoval or maybe the next Jason Bay, the next guy with a big deal that goes to a new team and just absolutely stinks. And the Yankees are stuck with that contract all because they missed out on Ohtani, who's become Babe freaking Ruth.
Wow, you're going to put Giancarlo Stanton into Pablo Sandoval and Jason Bay category?
If it's not reality, because who knows, Stanton could turn it around. It's at least on the table. And this isn't me trying to be hot take McGee over here. Nobody ever, ever has gone hitless with five strikeouts twice in 1 year. It's April 9th. He's already done it twice. And if another thing when I make this argument, well, it's cold out at Yankee Stadium. He played in Miami. Manny Machado hit two bombs into another burrow on Friday night in that same cold weather. And Stanton is doing nothing, absolutely nothing. But you can't boo him because he hit two home runs versus the Blue Jays on opening day. Enough. Rip that face guard off so you can see the ball better and start swinging a bat. What a waste this was. The Marlins and Jeter and everybody said, oh, well, look, the Yankees took advantage of the poor Marlins. Jeter fleeced the Yankees. Fleeced them.
Fleeced them.
Because now they're stuck with this contract. They probably out of the Bryce Harper sweepstakes with a guy who strikes out 50% of the times up and can't get a big hit. Can we just sit Stanton, put him on the bench enough, one game, let him clear his head? Because clearly he doesn't know what the heck he's doing.
He gets a lot of games to clear his head because he's never actually on the field. That was from 2 years ago. This date in mothership history, Mraz, you must feel very vindicated after that rant.
I do. Everybody laughed at me. Oh, you're an idiot for booing him. Here we are 2 years later, and I couldn't be more right. And ironically, the guy has never been more healthy as we can't play games during a pandemic. It's yeah. Unbelievable.
Although I will say, you said this dope Judge with his gap. Isn't Aaron Judge like your favorite player?
He is. That was probably a regrettable term. But I was unhinged. That was a rough, cold opening day I was at where nobody was hitting. It's ridiculous.
Aaron Judge.
this dope Judge with his gap. Meantime, he's the most popular player on the Yankees, and Mraz owns three of his jerseys.
By the way, it's sad that I have to always preface something with saying I'm not trying to be hot take McGee. Here we are.
I was going
to
say, you've really built up this reputation as a guy that's unhinged, has a hot take, and people don't really know if you could be that emotional about that.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You're like no Skip Bayless, like no Skip the buffet line.
No, exactly. I'm not skipping any of it. But listen, I was right. I was right about Stanton. When I'm right, I'm right.
Jameis Winston. He's a free agent. Kudos to him. He is looking for a job, and there are some rumors abounding in Pittsburgh that he might be the perfect backup to Ben Roethlisberger, returning, of course, from his season-ending injury from a year ago. Here is former Steelers head coach Bill Cowher on with Boomer and Geo on the CBS Sports Network and WFAN in New York.
I think it would be a great fit, only from the standpoint that I kind of sense where Pittsburgh is going with this football team. It's been a team to his identity. If yes. He's willing, Boom, to accept that 1 year sitting behind Ben, and maybe Ben's 2 years. So I just think that would be the biggest obstacle to overcome is for Jameis to sit there and not think he has a chance to compete for a job and to take a minimal salary, because that's basically what he's going to have to take to go to Pittsburgh. That's going to be a contingent on him playing. So I just don't know if that fit will happen right now just because of the timing of it. But, it'll be interesting to see where Jameis lands. You know, he's a guy that's been feast or famine. He's made a lot of, question the judgments he makes at times, the throws that he makes. But, a whole new setting and a chance to kind of just reinvent himself would be a good thing for him. It's going to have to be in the right place.
So if Jameis Winston, at just 26 years old, by the way, Jameis Winston, 26 years old, could get this deal from the Steelers to be the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger, that he would only have to wait in the wings for a year or two. If you're Jameis, you should sign up for that immediately. If you could get a guarantee that you're the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers 1 year from now, you absolutely sign up for that right now. You're 26, you'd be 27 or 28 years old. That's best case scenario for Jameis Winston's career. They always draft well. They always develop well. Right now they have an elite lights-out defense. Who knows where the defense is 1 or 2 years from now, but still, being part of the Steelers organization, the stability there, the development of players there, the drafting there, that's the best place for Jameis Winston to succeed, like a lot of quarterbacks. If you can be the heir apparent within a year or two of Ben Roethlisberger, you absolutely sign up for that. That's the smart play. It's what Teddy Bridgewater did. Bridgewater went to New Orleans and said, I'm going to sit behind Drew Brees until I get a shot and I'll make money out of it. I'll learn here from Peyton and Brees, and then I'll go make my money elsewhere, or Brees will have retired and I'll take over that job. And it worked out brilliantly for him. Right now, Jameis is broken goods. He's a guy that threw 30 interceptions last year, a guy that hasn't won any big games, a guy that even Bruce Arians couldn't win with. So it's a great deal if Jameis can get it. But can Jameis get it? I'm a little skeptical that Ben Roethlisberger is just walking away in a year. And I know he just dealt with this big injury. And I know that his draft class colleagues are coming to the end or at the end. Eli Manning just retired. And Phillip Rivers could be just one more year in Indianapolis, signed a one-year deal. But I don't know. Eli Manning had been regressing for years. Granted, bad football team, but regressing for years. He was not the same Eli Manning the last couple of seasons. And Phillip Rivers last year totally threw a billion interceptions and looks like he's at the end. Last time we saw Ben Roethlisberger on the field, which was, of course, the season of 2018, he was lighting up the sky. He was throwing a ton of touchdowns, a ton of yards. You know, that was a guy that easily was one of the best passers in football still. So, okay, does he take care of his body like Drew Brees or Tom Brady? Maybe not. Has he taken a lot of abuse over the years with his body? Yes. But unless Ben Roethlisberger, and I know that he's kind of flirted with this idea publicly, But he's also backtracked on that and said he plans to play a number of more seasons. If he is getting into the best shape of his life right now, which he insists he is, there's no reason that Ben Roethlisberger can only play one more year. And if you're now going into 2 years and maybe I'll retire, then Jameis can't sign up for the never ending. When am I going to be there? How long am I going to be there? You know, and that's not even really a Jameis question. That's a Steelers question of whether you'd want to keep a guy that's the heir apparent on the roster if he's got to be the heir apparent for like two or three seasons. I don't know, Mraz, you might feel differently than me. I don't look at Roethlisberger right now and put him in the same camp as Eli or Phillip Rivers. I think that until further notice, Ben Roethlisberger could be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I do. And I think you're overrating his year 2 years ago. I remember he was sitting on the sideline of that Raider game. He couldn't give it a proper MRI. Ben Roethlisberger's body is breaking down in front of us. He gets hurt the first week last year. He was hurt the year before. The body is not going to keep getting healthier, especially the shape that he keeps himself in. He doesn't keep himself in top-notch shape. Now, look, could he throw for a lot of yards? Yeah, a lot of that was yards after catch from guys like Antonio Brown and Juju. The moment James Conner got hurt in that season, the run game took a tumble.
I think you're being a little unfair to Ben Roethlisberger. In 2018, he led the league in passes attempted, passes completed, total yards thrown. I mean, he threw for 5,100 yards, and he played in all 16 games.
I'm not calling him a bum. And he played in all 16, but that Raider game he dropped out, right? And then didn't he have a bye week after that? He was hurt. I think he was very fortunate with a bye week that year. So I'm not trying to rain on his parade, but that's now 2 years ago with a body that keeps getting injured. I don't know how you can't suggest that the end of the road is coming when you look at his peers and look at the ages these guys are playing to.
Well, the end hasn't come.
2 years is a long time. A long time.
The end hasn't come for Breeze and Brady yet.
Do we think he's as good a shape as Breeze and Brady?
No, we don't.
Roethlisberger has a far worse injury history than those two.
We don't, but again, I got to go back to 2018. If I had seen him really be eroding in 2018, then he got injured last year, I might feel differently. The guy threw for 34 touchdowns, which was a career high. He threw for a career high in yards and touchdowns. I mean, the last time we saw him on the field, he was arguably at his best of his career.
While playing with the best receiver in football at the time, too. Look,
Okay, but is that unfair to Ben Roethlisberger? They can't get good wide receivers again. They always draft and develop good wide receivers.
But I think the expectation of trying to lean on something from now 2 years ago, knowing that he's probably older, fatter, coming off an injury, and with less talent around him, I think to suggest that we don't think the end of the road is near would be kind of silly. I mean, Father Time tells us, unless you are Tom Brady or a Drew Brees, that you really can't defeat it. And even to Brady and Brees' point, it's starting to look that way a little bit. But Roethlisberger's not the shape those guys are in, and it has a far worse injury history.
I would say this. I would bet all of my money that Ben Roethlisberger is not his final season upcoming.
Okay, but it also wasn't Phillip Rivers' final season. I'm not saying Roethlisberger's going somewhere else.
Okay, but that also means that if we guarantee he's not retiring after this season, we guarantee he's playing in 2021. So that's at least two more football seasons. So then we're talking about, does he retire after 2021, or is he playing three football seasons?
No, I think he's got two seasons max, but I also think
two seasons max. So you think there's a chance he retires after this year?
I think there's no chance. He's hinted at it in the past.
But he's also backed off of that. He did that because he wanted to seize control in that personnel office.
But if he comes out this year and he looks older, he looks slower, maybe he gets hurt again, and he doesn't want to go through the rehab again. I mean, I think it's definitely possible. To say it's impossible, I think, is it right? And also, I have a hard time thinking Ben Roethlisberger is playing 16 games each of the next 2 years. And that's part of this with Jameis, too. I mean, look what the Steelers had with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. I mean, I think being the heir apparent and getting some reps in the meantime when you have a quarterback that, frankly, I think it'd be more expected that he gets banged up and misses a game than not, I think is telling.
Well, is Jameis an improvement over Duck Hodges? No question. Mason Rudolph, no question. That's obvious here.
The Steelers make the playoffs last year if they have Jameis instead of Duck Hodges.
No, I agree. I agree with that. I'm just saying I'm not counting down the minutes until Roethlisberger retires. Roethlisberger's a stubborn, hard-headed guy that likes to be Ben Roethlisberger. He likes to be the quarterback of the Steelers. He has built a career, a Hall of Fame career on that. He enjoys that. He loves that. He wants that. He needs that. You know, last year he's coming off one of his best statistical career years ever. And had he played for 16 games, yes, maybe it takes a slight dip because of no AB, but he probably would have been in the playoffs with that defense. So if Roethlisberger stays healthy last year, they're in the playoffs, and we're not talking about when's he going to retire. We're talking about, wow, are the Steelers going to win a Super Bowl now that Tom Brady's gone out of the AFC?
I think that you're being a little bit too sided in this. I think he will show some of the same signs that we saw from Brady last year that we had no problem calling out. And look, I like to eat 12 scoops of ice cream in one sitting, but there comes a point in time where I can't just do what I like anymore. Age is going to catch up to Ben Roethlisberger.
So you're telling us that age has caught up to you in eating ice cream?
Yeah, well, look. Yes, it has, all right?
How so? I want to know what's the metrics on this.
D.A., 10 years ago, I could go to McDonald's and get a 10-piece and 2 quarter-pounders and a McFlurry, sit down, eat it no problem, and actually not feel like garbage after. If I did that now, I'm missing 3 weeks of the show. So the point is, whether it's football, whether it's eating, whether it's whatever your activity is, at some point, your lifestyle, your body – no matter what you might like to do, you're no longer going to be able to do those things. So Ben Roethlisberger can like and love to be the face of the Pittsburgh Steelers. His body is getting older. His body is breaking down. His body is getting fatter. And at some point, he's not going to be able to do the things he likes, which is being the franchise quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that time is coming a lot sooner, I think, than the picture you're painting.
Well, we don't necessarily know if his body's breaking down. Besides, he had a significant injury last year.
Well, I mean, clearly he can't lift his arm up to shave. I mean, jeez.
So what was the McDonald's meal that you could eat 10 years ago and not feel bad?
2 quarter-pounders with cheese, a 10-piece, fries, and a McFlurry. No doubt.
Oh, my God.
No doubt.
I've ordered that before,
no doubt.
A large fry?
Yes. D.A., I am one of these people in America, and there are plenty out there, that cannot roll up, Hyundai Elantra, goes around, place your order at McDonald's, even a Wendy's, and a meal, like when we sit down and have a meal, right? We talk about having a meal should be enough to fill a human. There has not been a trip to McDonald's where I've been able to just order a meal and not glance over at that dollar menu. Now, before the dollar menu or before I would glance over that, I would go secondsies on another meal and act as if, grandma had made chicken cutlets and I need 5 of them. Okay, I'm having a meal, but where's my second helping? That's that second quarter pounder. And then instead of a second order of fries, let me have nuggets on the side. I was a sweating, disgusting, vehemently ill pig when I ordered fast food. And I love that, and I can't do that anymore. So Ben Roethlisberger is that same pig that might love playing quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but at some point he's not going to be able to do that anymore.
I'm not certain that this parallel really works here.
Oh, I am.
I want to go back to this meal. 2 quarter-pounders with cheese,
yes.
A 10-piece, a large fry and a McFlurry.
Now, no pickle, no onion. That would save me some calories.
Wait, yeah.
Like 20.
It's the pickle and onion that's weighing you down in the middle of this meal. I like that idea. Can we try to get you to eat this during this summer of quarantine and live stream it? See what happens? And if you got to take off of work, you got to take off of work.
I mean, look, you know me. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. If I got to do this for the show, the good thing is if I'm doing it from home, as I've noted, I could see my bathroom sink. Yeah, I mean, I think I could probably pull it off. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to be a live dog for 3 weeks. It's gonna tranquilize me a bit. I'm going to feel lethargic. I'm going to feel gross. I don't have the gym open right now to lean on. But again, sometimes a pony needs to go for a trot. And if that's what needs to happen here, that's what needs to happen. But look, I'd be interested to know, listeners, I mean, what's the most disgusting McDonald's order you could pound down back in the day that you can't anymore? And maybe we could all do it. Maybe I'll do one of these house party or Zooms, and we get a bunch of DA show listeners, and let's all sit down and slog our, in our prime McDonald's meal and see what we can come up with. We can still do it. I am fat.
I would love to call the play-by-play of you at home trying to finish 2 quarter-pounders with cheese, a 10-piece, a large fry, and a McFlurry. And I would love to see what goes through your body, then how you're doing afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, the post-game interview won't be pretty. I'll feel like Cam after that Super Bowl for sure.
I feel like Spam.
I do think there's a part of me that would wonder if I could still do
spam
it.
Spam, like, Newton.
I know better than to not do it, but I would wonder – You know, even pace. You know, pace of play.
Sure.
A baseball game is 2.5 hours long back in the 70s, which is probably how I, you know, I could eat this quickly in 6 minutes. What's my pace of play on a meal like that now? Do we have a real problem? Do we need some kind of robotic umpires? There's a lot of things that could go into me eating.
All right, I just want this on record. The 2 quarter pounders with cheese, a large fry, a 10-piece and a McFlurry as the potential summer quarantine meal for Mraz. So here's the only thing about Roethlisberger getting back to it. He's only 37 years old. He's 5 years younger than Brady, you realize. 5 years younger than Brady.
Yeah, you just heard Brady tell you how many ounces of water he drinks a day. Roethlisberger probably drinks that ounces of PBR a day. I mean, come on. Could we stop? And this is where we fall into the trap with these quarterbacks. Because Tom Brady has done it, and to a lesser degree, Drew Brees has done it, we expect now that is the norm for all of these quarterbacks, where the norm is probably closer to what we see with Eli and Phillip Rivers, where, frankly, they're just not the same player at older ages.
You might be right.
Out earlier.
You might be right, but I do think that this is notable, that we're not far removed from Roethlisberger being an awesome quarterback and a really effective one and a Pro Bowl one. So at 36, Roethlisberger's really already beat history, because at 36, nobody throws for 5,100 yards and 34 touchdowns. At 36, nobody has their best statistical season ever. So to say that he's following the same trajectory as all the other quarterbacks ever besides Brady and Brees is also not true.
Again, you're more concerned with his numbers in 2018, and I'm more concerned with Ben Roethlisberger's injury history and what he looks like. To me, I think we need to find a balance somewhere in the middle where could he still be productive this year and even make a Pro Bowl this year? Sure. Could you expect him past the 2-year mark, knowing his history and how he keeps himself in shape, to be a bona fide starting franchise quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I think no way.
So then you would say no-brainer if you can bring in Jameis on a short-term deal or a light financial deal and Jameis is good with it,
Because to me, that's the beauty. Number one, like we brought up with Hodges, you have a guy that could step in and play the position at least adequately if you run into a Roethlisberger injury, which I think if you're the Steelers, you have to expect. And number two, this could be a guy that you have in your system for 2 years. Maybe he, you know, takes those 2 years to, you know, whatever, be coached up properly, and he reinvents himself, Jameis Winston, and maybe you get lucky and you get Kerry Collins on the Giants. I mean, maybe that's what you get if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers after Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I think it's a great fit for Jameis. It's going to be, if there's going to be a place that he can hook up to the rejuvenation machine and actually become a legitimate, credible starting quarterback, it would definitely be with the Steelers organization. He would just have to be patient, because my guess is Roethlisberger is going to hand over that job over his dead body.
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Bogues found a good one today. He hit a grand slam with this bad boy.
Well, I didn't find it myself. I've got to give credit to our listeners. This was a submission sent to me yesterday. Daniel in Las Vegas hit me up on Twitter with this
brilliant
bad boy, and
it
is a good one. Basically, the entire world is dealing with coronavirus. The Czech Republic was one of the first in Europe to require citizens to wear protective masks whenever in public, and they are enforcing that rule whenever possible. But one particular group is proving to be an issue. Apparently, nude sunbathing is very popular in the Czech Republic, and those folks are also taking off
their
masks.
Amazing!
To do the nude sunbathing.
Amazing.
So cops have been busy telling them to at least cover up their mouth, because there's no saying they can't be buck naked on the side of a river in a park. And they also have been hanging out, too many of them, only couples. No threesomes or more here when you're sunbathing. Only two people max can be together. So cover your mask and limit those who are also naked around you if you're listening in the Czech Republic.
So good. So could you imagine going to Central Park and everybody is social distancing, keep 6 feet apart, wear your masks, be careful, and then you just come across nude sunbathers wearing their masks. Like, how bizarre would that scene look like? You'd still need to get your nude sunbathing in even amidst the pandemic. No matter what, I gotta get my nude sunbathing in. I don't care if it takes me wearing my COVID-19 mask.
Oh, but then I love the outline of the mask. What is the point of the nude sunbathing?
Yeah,
is to
no
make
tan
sure
lines.
You don't have tan lines around, you know, the private area, but you're going to have a big, basically, it's going to look like you're wearing a thong on your mouth. So why even do that?
Amazing. Amazing. Imagine the COVID-19 mask suntan tan lines around your face. Also, does this not kind of give you the perfect out if you kind of want to sunbathe, but you're a little embarrassed? People then can't recognize you. You're out there naked. You're a little embarrassed. You're like, oh, man, I don't want to be noticed. But you're like, oh, now I can wear a mask as I do it. It is totally socially acceptable.
I wonder if this becomes the new thing. There is a nude beach not far from me. Maybe I'll try this. Maybe I'll throw the mask on and just lay out like an elephant at the safari.
So I find nudist to be fascinating because, you know, I don't mind being naked in my own home. I don't mind. I'm not ashamed of my body necessarily, but I would be totally embarrassed to be around other people naked. And that's just my own hang up. I admire these nudist colonies, these nudist resorts, yes. These nudist beaches. Like, they just let it all hang out. And it's normally not people that should be that proud of their bodies.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know, you go to these nude resorts, I hear, and, you know, you got fatsos dancing, and you got people that are just letting everything jiggle all around. You said you've gone to your nude beach, and it's just like a beluga whale fest.
I'll never forget the first time me and my friends took a walk down. We were expecting, you know, hot girls, everything like that. And you walk in, and you're like, whoa, Nelly, these are not the people I expected to see, basically, you know, tree trunk swinging, so to speak.
It's amazing. It's the people that should be the most embarrassed about their body that are not embarrassed at all. So I really admire them. So I could never really do this. But I always think it's wild that there are some people that are like, you know what? I just want to be naked in public. That's just my thing. I want to be out in a park totally naked. And I'm guessing that there is something very liberating about this. Because, you know, if you're home alone, have you ever been home alone and been like, you know what? I'm not wearing pants today. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just
doing
not
right going
to do it. You're doing it right now. Good. That is good to know. That is a tremendous visual. But these people do it in public. They go like, yeah, you know what? Who cares? Don't care if somebody stares right down at my groin. Don't care if somebody knows exactly who I am. I'm just out here. And, you know, that would burn into my retina. If I knew the person and saw them naked, I'd never be able to not think about that. These people do not care.
I told that story, Damon. One of the first people I saw nude at one of these nude beaches when I walked up was a customer of mine at Subway at the time. And when he came back that following Saturday to get his meatball hero, boy, things were never the same. They were never the same.
Foot long, please.
How do you feel when you see somebody inadvertently naked and then they come into your place of business?
They can put on everything they have in their closet and show up with 17 layers onto the sandwich shop. I will never not see them naked.
Yeah.
Like, no matter, I am looking at you naked as you order the sandwich. You are naked forever to me.
In the Czech Republic, they're still letting people amongst the coronavirus pandemic nude sunbathe, but you just have to have a mask on. I mean, could you imagine, like, going up to the nude sunbather? Hey, we got to give you a ticket here. You got to have the mask on. Okay, can I see your license? Oh, sorry, I've got no wallet on me. Well, you know. My clothes are back at home. I'm just naked here, officer. Only in the Czech Republic.
You're buck naked, spread eagle, but your mouth being covered is the concern in the Czech Republic right now.
Yeah, can you spread corona just by having, you know, your legs spread wide at a park? It's gross.
And you're right, your first thought is this is a beat you sign up for as a cop, but it's not. Because there's no way that you're dealing with anybody that you'd want to see naked in most occasions.
Can I deal with a break-in, please? Is there somebody on the loose? I need anything besides. Has there been a robbery? I want anything besides giving the tickets to the nude sunbathers right now.
At least we know Jaromir Jagr's quarantine is going well in the Czech Republic.
His mullet flowing in the wind as he nude eagle spreads next to the pond in his park with a mask on.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Our poll question today, with the final episode of Modern Family last night, did Ed O'Neill, who played Al Bundy in Married with Children, need the Jay Pritchett character in Modern Family to cement his legacy? Can you tell it's quarantine time?
Here we are.
On Twitter, 77% said no, Al Bundy was enough. Even more overwhelming on Facebook, 87% of respondents said no, Al Bundy was enough of a legacy. Other factoids: Michael Richards, who played Kramer on Seinfeld, briefly considered for the role of Al Bundy. How weird would Married with Children be with Kramer as Al Bundy? Also, did you know Ed O'Neill, black belt in the Brazilian martial art of jiu-jitsu? Who knew? You see that, Mraz? Here's our listeners coming to the defense of Al Bundy, saying that was enough of a legacy role.
Yeah, well, he's been in our face for 12 years because of Modern Family. I think those numbers might be a little skewed. Again, Al Bundy, forever remembered, but his legacy cemented, Walk of Fame, everything because of Jay Pritchett and Modern Family.
Alien OG tweets, I bet the Patriots are working on a plan to go inner space and get Dennis Quaid super small to spy on their rivals. Yes, inject him into your hemoglobin. Also, Bradley tweets, I submit the Tigers home jersey as the cleanest in Major League Baseball, definitely one of the most iconic, and it's been mostly unchanged for like over 60 years. I love the Tigers uniforms. The old script English D, phenomenal. Ridgely tweets, and personally, Al Bundy and Homer Simpson were my role models of manhood growing up and easily cemented that legacy as one of my all-time most beloved TV characters. But objectively, Modern Family has a much broader audience and probably more successful. So yes, Ed needed it. And despite my mother's reservations, I turned out fine. You have to love growing up in an era where Al Bundy and Homer Simpson were your models of manhood.
Jeez.
Mike tweets, I went to a nude beach in Austin, Texas. Nobody told me it's where the old hippies go to hang out. Gross. Dixieland Dan tweets, who's the worst to walk up to buck-ass naked sunbathing? Mraz, Schwartz, Bartolo Colon, or Betty White?
Oh,
it's a tough one. Actually, it's not Mraz. I've seen him nearly nude on just about every block party. And
oh.
On that slide, that water slide, you go down and usually lose your trunks halfway down.
Yes.
Your butt crack anyway.
Yes, yes. I've been near new. And you saw me in the Speedo in Central Park.
Yeah. Bartolo at least is a professional athlete. I guess it's Schwartz there.
I mean, it's Betty White or Schwartz, and I'm probably going blind both times.
I think it's Schwartz. By the way, Robin Topeka tweets, wow, here's the calorie breakdown on Mraz's McDonald's meal. 2 quarter pounders with cheese, that's a total of 1,100 calories. 10-piece nuggets, 470. A McFlurry, 640. Large fry, 490. That's a whopping total of 2,620. 2,620 calories. On the bright side, it also has 104 grams of protein. Hashtag, I have a weird waist.
But how many Jockalones is that?
2,600 calories you used to crush. Cosmo tweets, I would like to second your recommendation that Mraz should eat that meal during the show and live stream it. I think he's selling himself short. Big Ben might be losing it, but Sean is in his prime. I don't think you're in your prime, but I do think you could probably do that easier than you think.
I'm past my prime for sure, but it doesn't mean I can't have a dial back one moment, you know?
Yeah.
Just go rent, you know, like Peyton Manning winning that Super Bowl. He wasn't in his prime at the end, but he had a nice little moment at the end.
One
protein?
One creamy moment. Maybe this happens. One salty moment. Maybe this ends up happening. It is your epic fail this morning.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
DA, 10 years years ago, I could go to McDonald's and get a 10-piece and 2 quarter-pounders and a McFlurry, sit down, eat it no problem, and actually not feel like garbage after. If I did that now, I'm missing 3 weeks of the show.
So what was the McDonald's meal that you could eat 10 years ago and not feel bad?
2 quarter-pounders with cheese, a 10-piece, fries, and a McFlurry.
Oh, give it to me, big boy.
No doubt.
Oh, my God.
No doubt. I've ordered that before, no doubt.
A large fry?
French fried.
Yes. D.A., I am one of these people in America, and there are plenty out there, that cannot roll up, you know, Hyundai Elantra, goes around, place your order at McDonald's, even a Wendy's, and a meal, like when we sit down and have a meal, right? We talk about having a meal should be enough to fill a human. There has not been a trip to McDonald's where I've been able to just order a meal and not glance over at that dollar menu. Now, before the dollar menu or before I would glance over that, I would go secondsies on another meal and act as if sweetness, saltiness, buttery, bready. You know, grandma made chicken cutlets and I need 5 of them. I'm having a meal, but where's my second helping? That's that second quarter pounder. And then instead of a second order of fries, only have nuggets on the side. I was a sweating, disgusting, vehemently ill pig. When I ordered fast food. And I love that, and I can't do that anymore. So Ben Roethlisberger is that same pig that might love playing quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but at some point he's not going to be able to do that anymore.
I'm not certain that this parallel really works here.
Oh, I am.
I want to go back to this meal. 2 quarter-pounders with cheese,
yes.
A 10-piece, a large fry and a McFlurry.
Now, no pickle, no onion. That would save me some calories.
I'm not a pickle eater.
Yeah.
Like 20.
It's the pickle and onion that's weighing you down in the middle of this meal. I like that idea.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
27-20. That's the total calories there. 27-20 in one meal. And if you took down the 2 quarter-pounders with cheese, the 10-piece nugs, the McFlurry, the large fry, 27-20, that was not your only meal of the day. There's no way.
No, I'm sure I started that day with a stack of pancakes or something like that. But by the way, you're reading 27-20 sounds like Strahan pleading with the Giants offensive line at the end of Super 42 what the final score has to be.
Believe it and it will happen.
27-20.
Total amount of calories taken down in this meal. Believe it and it will happen. Believe it and it will come true. 27-20. It might have to happen. We might have to order that and have Merez during quarantine eat this for all of our delightful pleasure. Thanks to Sean Merez, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the wheels of steel and your audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Connor Green, associate producer today. We'll see you tomorrow, Target Demo Friday. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.